Space is a dangerous place to explore, even if humans are the only creatures exploring it. The vacuum of space, radiation from the sun, and the difficulty of getting to space to provide aid are just some of the challenges we are facing currently in our extraterrestrial endeavors. There are, however, many other problems we have yet to encounter that might present a threat to humanity as a whole. This episode's movie imagines what sort of threat an alien from a far-off world would provide to a spacefaring crew. Today, on Fiction, Fact, or Fallacy, we will break down this movie and scenario to look for scientific accuracy. Alien is a movie that came out in 1979 and is widely regarded as one of the best science fiction movies of all time. Directed by Ridley Scott, the movie had groundbreaking visual effects and has had a large influence on the science fiction genre for many years since its release. If you care about spoilers, here is your warning. The movie Alien shares the story of the crew of a space hauler called the Nostromo traveling through interstellar space. The crew is supposed to undergo a journey back to Earth entirely in stasis, but they are prematurely awakened by the ship's computer. It had discovered a strange signal coming from an unexplored moon. Required to investigate by the company they work for, the crew of the Nostromo sets down on the surface of the moon to investigate the source of the unknown signal. They discover an alien ship that was broadcasting what seemed like a warning signal, discouraging other vessels from approaching. Before the crew stopped exploring, however, an egg aboard the ship exploded, latching on to a member of the crew's face. The member, named Kane, was transported back to the ship and brought onto the medical bay for analysis against direct orders from the acting ship commander, Ripley, to quarantine Kane for the safety of the rest of the crew. During the examination of the alien attached to Kane's face, a bit of the creature's blood falls onto the ground and immediately burns a hole through the floor. They discover the blood is incredibly acidic and eventually put a stop to the blood before it creates a hole in the outer hull of the ship. The alien creature is found later to have detached from Kane's face and died. Thinking that the threat is completely gone, the crew relaxes and starts eating together. During the meal, though, another alien that was implanted in Kane's chest by the face creature suddenly bursts out of his body in an incredibly violent manner, immediately killing Kane and escaping the rest of the crew. Now loose aboard the Nostromo, the alien continues to evade Ripley and her crew. Over the course of a couple hours, it grows to a monstrous size. In the meantime, Ripley discovers the ship's science officer is actually a humanoid robot and has been mandated by the company's headquarters to bring the alien alive back to Earth by whatever means necessary, even if it means sacrificing the crew. The alien eventually gets a hold of every member of the Nostromo crew except for Ripley, who tries to escape the ship using a smaller vessel. She sets the Nostromo to self-destruct, then boards the smaller ship, thinking she's safe. The Nostromo explodes, and Ripley tries to set up another stasis chamber for her voyage back to Earth. However, Ripley discovers the alien actually boarded her ship with her, surviving the explosion as well. Ripley dons a spacesuit and opens the hatch leading into empty space. This pulls the alien out, finally leaving Ripley alone on the ship in safety. Alien is one of the most well-known movies in the sci-fi genre, and in many ways defined it. But is it scientifically accurate? We will break it down and analyze it piece by piece right after a quick break. To start off, we will look at the Nostromo and how the crew uses it to travel through space. One aspect of the ship that was not addressed much in the movie was the presence of gravity on the Nostromo, despite any physical mechanism that could create it. It was also present on every other craft shown in the movie, no matter how small they are. We have discussed the topic of gravity before on this podcast in our episode on the movie Passengers, and we found that one of the best ways to create an artificial gravity is to have a circular ring and spin it. These elements, however, are not present on the Nostromo or any of the smaller vessels. Another method of creating a gravity-like force is to constantly accelerate a ship through space. We also know that the ships do not use this method either, with one line of dialogue from Ripley in the movie. When the crew is leaving the moon they landed on, Ripley says to engage the artificial gravity, implying that there is a machine or process on board that creates the gravity, not just constantly accelerating forward. Is this method of creating gravity scientifically accurate? As far as scientists know currently, there is no physical way to generate a gravity field in the manner shown in the movie. However, there might be one redeeming factor that would make this method of gravity possible. Antimatter is a form of matter that has been discovered in extremely small amounts using particle colliders. Not much, however, is known about antimatter. Some scientists believe that if an antimatter particle is placed in a gravitational field, such as the one Earth makes, it would experience a force upward, opposite the direction of regular matter. This would mean that anything made out of antimatter would fall upward if placed in a gravitational field originating from a large amount of regular matter, like a planet. No experiment to date, though, has been able to demonstrate this aspect of antimatter. We have only been able to produce antimatter in small quantities on the individual particle scale. These particles move too fast to determine how they are affected by the gravity the Earth is producing. If antimatter particles do react to gravitational forces in a manner opposite to regular matter, it would be possible to create a spaceship with an artificial gravity field. Regular matter would be placed on the floor, and antimatter would be placed on the ceiling, pushing everything made of regular matter in between down to the floor. This method of creating gravity would still always be on, though. Just like how you can't turn off gravity on the Earth, you wouldn't be able to turn off the gravitational field on the ship. There would always be antimatter on the ceiling and regular matter on the floor. In the movie, Ripley turns the gravity on and off at the flip of a switch, making whatever method they were using ultimately unrealistic. Another aspect of space exploration that is more hidden in this movie is the way the Nostromo communicates with the Earth. While the movie never explicitly mentions how it does so, it gives a couple clues to help us determine if the communication method is scientifically accurate or not. While the movie Alien never says where exactly the moon is that the crew lands on, it does imply that it is outside of our local solar system. It calls the moon LV-426, which is not a moon of any planet we currently know about. If the Nostromo is indeed outside of our solar system, the closest it could be is several light years away from the Earth. The closest star system to our own is the Alpha Centauri system at 4 light years away. Any communication method we currently use in space involves sending light signals, usually through radio waves, from one location to another. The speed of this communication is limited by the speed of light. This means a ship 1 light year away from the Earth could send a signal to the Earth and expect it to get there a year later. If the ship needed a response, it would have to wait another year for a signal to come from Earth. The total communication lag at this distance would be 2 years. In the Nostromo's case, if it is, at the very least, 4 light years from the Earth, it would have to wait at least 8 years to hear a response to any signal it sent out. But Ripley discovers, only a short time after encountering the alien, that the science officer on board had been ordered to keep the alien alive to study on the ship's return. This means there must be some faster-than-light communication available to the crew aboard the Nostromo. The current consensus among the scientific community is that sending a signal that travels faster than the speed of light is impossible. Any object or piece of information that does so would violate Einstein's laws of relativity. Wormholes might allow someone to talk to someone else at speeds faster than light, but there is no way we know of that would allow wormholes to exist. This leads to the conclusion that, similar to the gravity generation, the communication on board the Nostromo is unrealistic as well. One minor detail that does need to be analyzed is the explosion of the Nostromo close to the end of the movie. After Ripley sets the self-destruct, she makes her escape on one of the smaller shuttles. After flying a considerable distance away from the ship, it explodes, and the sound of an explosion is heard simultaneously. One of the most well-known facts about space travel is that sound waves can't travel through a vacuum. Even one of the movie's taglines is that in space, no one can hear you scream. This is because sound requires air or some other physical medium to exist between the source of the sound and whatever is listening to it. Sound is made up of waves of compressions and expansions of that medium, all traveling away from whatever the source is. This is what makes the explosion in the movie Alien so unrealistic. Even if there was an atmosphere that the sound could travel through, there would be a significant delay from the site of the explosion to the sound of the explosion. This is the same reason we can see lightning long before we hear the thunder it caused. The lack of an atmosphere, though, would mean that realistically, the explosion would be almost completely silent. It might be possible that the gases escaping the Nostromo would rush past the small shuttle, creating what might sound like a faint wind, if audible at all, but it would not be as dramatic as demonstrated in the movie. The final aspect of the movie Alien we are going to analyze is the most exciting part, the alien itself. Although, just like the rest of the movie, it doesn't look good either. One of the first physical characteristics we learn about the alien is the composition of its blood. When its skin is penetrated, the creature's blood falls to the floor and is found to be incredibly corrosive. After falling onto the floor, the blood burns holes through several decks of the ship in a matter of seconds. One of the strongest acids we know of is hydrofluoric acid. This acid is capable of eating through almost everything it comes into contact with the exception of a few man-made materials, like Teflon. If the alien's blood was made of this acid, it would burn through the floor of the ship, but not necessarily in the manner shown. Hydrofluoric acid is not as fast-acting as shown in the movie. The hole it would burn would form over a longer period, instead of the instantaneous creation as shown in the movie. The quantity of the acid would also not be enough to eat through several layers of the ship. Only a small portion is shown to fall on the floor. As it is reacting with the metal, the acid is bonding with it. Once it is bonded, the acid can't react with any more metal, using it up very quickly. Acids stronger than hydrofluoric acid are known to exist, and it might be possible that an alien creature could use them as blood if the blood vessels were made of a material strong enough. However, an encounter with the acid would not be as fast-acting and dramatic as the movie made it seem. Another element of alien physiology that might easily go unnoticed is how fast it grows into an adult. After some sort of egg is implanted into Cain by the facehugger, it is only a matter of a couple of hours before a fully grown alien is encountered that is much larger than any human on board the Nostromo. The alien must then be able to grow a couple hundred pounds in less than a day. On Earth, the fastest growing animal is the turquoise killifish. This fish reaches adulthood in as little as 2 weeks after hatching, but only grows to a size of less than 3 inches long. Even if the alien from the movie does not have a biology similar to anything we know about on Earth, it would be highly improbable that it could grow several hundred pounds in such a short time, given everything we know currently about biology. Alien is one of the most influential science fiction movies ever made. Even with its revolutionary visual effects and unique story, though, it fell short of the standard of scientific accuracy in many ways. The movie suggests that we will be using gravity generators and faster-than-light communication in the future of space travel, even though there is no known way of building either of these. It also suggests aliens might have a physiology that is almost impossible with its blood and how fast it grows. As incredible of a movie as Alien is, it is ultimately unrealistic. If you have any suggestions for future topics, questions about this episode, or comments to make in general, please be sure to leave a voice message on this show's anchor page. The link to that page is in the description of this podcast. While you are there, and if you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support it, please consider contributing with a small monthly donation. This episode was created and produced by Sawyer Krueger. See you next time on Fiction, Fact, or Fallacy.